What is faith? There's all kinds of teaching on faith, you know. Is faith a thing? Is faith an object? Is faith something that you can put in a test tube and examine? What is real faith? What is faith? How many know that we all have faith? You already have faith, right? I mean, you get up in the morning and you go to the bathroom. At least I assume you do. And hopefully you turn the water on, right? And start fixing up the mess and all that. And, right? Hopefully hit the shower too. Yeah. So water, we just assume, you know, we're going to walk up to the faucet and turn that knob. And guess what? There's going to be water. Right? We don't go and look under the sink and check, yeah, there's pipes going up into there, and is it, yeah, that's on, so there should be. No, we don't have to examine it. It's just simple trust that when I turn this knob, water's going to come out. You get in your car, and it hopefully, not all, you can't have faith in every car, amen? But you get that key going, you know? Because, you know, I'm expecting that when I turn this key, it's going to start. You don't pop the hood, look under there and examine it and find out if all the wires are connected. No, you just get in your car and you go for it. It's a simple thing. We exercise faith all the time. When you got in here tonight, you didn't pull your chair up and look at it and examine it. And, you know, you just sat down on it because you had faith that it was going to hold you. Amen. So it's not a complicated thing, but if we're not careful, we can make it complicated. And once we start complicating it, then we start having difficulty receiving from God. When we become, we over-examine, overthink sometimes. Jesus says, unless you become like little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom. So we have to have a childlike attitude towards the things of God, towards the truth. A child is, you know, easy to convince because you can tell them, even if you're telling them a lie, hopefully you're not, but if you were, a child is easy to convince because they don't know anything else, and they just accept from what you say that it's got to be true because you said it to me. Amen? And unfortunately, man cannot always be trusted. But God is not like that. God can be trusted, and we have to have a childlike attitude when it comes to receiving from the Lord. We have to get back to becoming children again. Is that making sense? Sometimes we become adults, and then all of a sudden we're having trouble receiving anything because then we start to get into all the doctrinal points of view, and you know, and we just clutter and complicate it. Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Well, we got to have a 12-point sermon leading up to that, and you know, and all the ifs and ands and maybes. And he just said, when you pray, believe in your heart that you receive it. Amen. Just like a child that was to reach out and receive a gift that's freely given, so believe that God has freely given gifts unto His children, unto us, and you receive simply like that. Get back to becoming a child in your perspective of God's things. Amen. And what God wants to give you is free. It's without cost. You don't earn it. Don't come to God with your qualifications and God, well, you got to give it to me because I've been so good today. You know, I thank you. I'm not like Joe over here, you know. And no, you just come to God and say, God, I'm a mess. Forgive me. Thank you. Fix me. Change my heart because I don't want to keep living this way. I want to be transformed. Amen. I want to mature. I want to grow. I want to be like Jesus. And then when I come to God, I said, Lord, I'm not coming because of my own merits or my own goodness. I'm just coming because I know you are good. Amen. Just like we give our kids things. Amen. Just because they mess up, they may miss a meal because they messed up. You're going to bed without dinner, right? But you're not going to starve them for a week if you're a good parent. Amen. You say, okay, you learned your lesson, Johnny. Now you can have some. All right, maybe at the end of the week. But anyway, you know, God's not like that. Eat your peas. That can't be from God, man. Those demonic peas? No, that can't be. I have a holdout at the table with my parents. You ain't leaving this table to eat them peas. I spent some long time on them. It's like the baby that stuffed them up his nose, you know. It worked for a while, but a week later, the mother was going, there's something wrong with my child. Something rotten here. Brought it in to the doctor. They discovered the child had stuffed all these peas up his nose. Yes. It don't work that way, does it? There's no shortcut. So faith is something that Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. So faith has substance and faith has evidence. Real faith has results, no different than turning that water on. You know, it requires an action every time. It always requires action. Amen? If any of you are sick among you, if there are any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Action. Amen? Action on the elders' part to anoint with oil. Amen? In the name of the Lord, pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. If they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. So it requires action every time. So there's no such thing as passive faith. Faith is active. If I say that I believe you when you tell me something, then I will actually be willing to act upon what you told me. If I were to ask you for directions to find some place, and I believed the directions you gave me were true, then I would be willing to follow those directions. Amen? And so this is the attitude we need with God, is just to say simply, God says it, I'm going to actually practice what He says. I'm going to apply it. I'm going to take action upon what I just learned. And as you begin to practice this and you begin to step out in faith and trust that what God says He will back up, you'll begin to discover that God's word is true. But you're not going to know it's true until you act upon it. Well, how do you know that God is? I know He is because of what He's done in my life, how He's changed me. The evidence is there. The substance is Christ. Amen? And it's not superstition, it's reality. Faith produces a real, genuine experience in God. And so the devil, what he wants to do is he wants to steal your faith. You know, sometimes we're all concerned about, well, the devil took this from me, the devil took that from me. It's not your stuff that he wants. He doesn't need your stuff. He wants your faith. He wants to do something to get you to doubt God, to get you to doubt that God is good. Amen? Once again, that was the main thing that he was messing with Eve with. God's not good. God's holding out on you. Yea, doth God say? Did God say? You know, does God really mean what He says? Question. You know, there are people, I remember listening to John Ramirez, who came out of, you know, high-level Satanism, and he said he used to mess with Christians, and he'd tell them, you know, now, of course, he's born again, and he's serving Jesus and destroying the works of the devil, praise God. But he used to say stuff to put seeds of doubt in their mind, to cause them to doubt their faith, see? Because the devil's after your faith. If he can get you to doubt, he's won the victory already. God told the children of Israel, I've given you this land, go in and possess it. It's yours. It's a gift. I promised it to your forefathers, and it's promised to you now. Joshua and Caleb said, this is good, boys, God said it, that settles it. We can go in and take the land. Why? God gave it to us as a gift. Somehow the enemy got a hold of some of the other people. Amen? And the 12 spies that went in. And they came back with an evil report. Oh yeah, there's definitely a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at the fruit. You know, they brought back some of the fruit of the land. However, there are giants in the land. How many know there were literal giants? Amen? They're digging up the bones today. They're trying to hide it from everybody, but it's all out there now on YouTube. Got to cover this thing up, man. People begin to realize the Bible's true after all. But there was giants. They said, we're like grasshoppers, man. I mean, these guys were huge. They found skeletons 30 feet tall. Heads that are like... They got a femur, a guy holding a femur bone. It's like 6 feet tall. I mean, this is real stuff, man. So when they came in, they were Canaanites, you know. And there was, I believe, a mingling with angels and men. And we don't want to go down to that road tonight. But there was something going on where there's some interfering with the DNA of humans. And so there's a cross-pollination. And there's producing these Nephilim or these giants. And then as a result, you know, they were going in. And God said, I've given you the land. But they went in with their eyes upon the giants and not upon the promise of God. That's the way it is in our day-to-day life. Your giant may be drug addiction. It could be a number of things that you're facing. And if you got your eyes on the giant, amen, the giant's only going to steal your faith. Amen? David could not look at the size of Goliath. He had to look at the size of his God. And said, I know who my God is. And who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, to defy the living God, amen, and the armies of the living God? And he came charging after that giant because he had his faith, his trust, his hope in the ability of his God and not in the ability of the giant. And the same thing is true in our lives. The devil wants to come and present himself as a giant in your life to try to steal your faith. If he can steal your faith, he's defeated you already. You understand? Sometimes there's only a glimmer of faith left, but you hold on. Amen? Don't ever give up. Don't ever look back. Don't ever quit. Because your God is with you and your God is for you. And he is greater than the one who's in the world. And he will come to battle, amen, on your behalf. And why is the devil trying to steal our faith? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's an insult to God when we don't believe what he says. Has anybody insulted God besides me? Come on, I'm just keeping it real, right? We've all done that. We've doubted, we've questioned, we've wondered. We found ourselves sometimes in places in life where like, how did I ever get here? And we might have put ourselves there and God still gets blamed, but you know, but maybe not. Maybe you just find yourself in some place in life you've never been before. You can't seem to make heads or tails. It doesn't make any sense. How did this happen to me? And then the devil comes along and he says, it's because God's not there. God doesn't care. God doesn't exist. God's against you. God's not good. Blah, 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 blah. And he's trying to beat up on you and get you to a place where you start listening to him and start doubting God. You understand? Because remember, God cannot be touched by Satan. However, if he can touch you, he can get to God by touching you. Amen? And say, ha, look what they're doing. They're bowing down to me. They're afraid of me. They're starting to listen to what I'm telling them now. They're starting to doubt you, God. See, that's what he does. He's got this eternal hatred towards God. And he knows he can't touch God directly, but if he can get to you and I, this is the time for us to shine when we're under tests. Amen? It's our time to shine, to stand up and say, you know what? We're not going there. We're not going there. My God is with me. My God is for me. He's not against me. My God says that he will work all things together for the good to them that love the Lord. Romans 8:28. That is a promise. Therefore, when bad things happen to me, I know that God is going to turn it around for good. Do you know what? Every time something bad happens to you, something good, something better is on its way. Amen? If somebody opposes you as a follower of Jesus, if somebody attacks you as a follower of Jesus, if somebody lies about you as a follower of Jesus, it means that God's going to take you to a new level. He wants to promote you because you have to handle it the correct way. You have to correct it. You have to handle it in faith, saying, you know what? Thank you. Because I know that if the enemy is attacking me, he may even be using a human being. It just means promotion for me. How many know that God will pay? Amen? And God will repay. God will deal with your enemies. Amen? You just handle it the right way. If somebody curses you, what do you do back? You bless. Amen? And God says that and says, yeah, here's more joy. Here's more peace. Here's more anointing. They can be trusted with more. So the devil wants to steal our faith. Now, faith pleases God. And how many here want God to do some mighty things through your life? Amen? You really want God to use you in a mighty way? You know, He will do so if you believe and expect Him to do so. But if you don't expect Him to do so, He won't. It's all about believing. It's all about trusting that God has my best interests in mind. Amen? That God wants to use me as a vessel. And He wants me to be blessed eternally with much fruit. He wants all of us to bear good fruit and what? Much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. The fruit of His Spirit. Amen? Sometimes the only way for the fruit of the Spirit to come out is for that olive berry to be squeezed. Amen? So the oil will come out. And sometimes we're under the fire, amen, of refining. But whenever things happen in your life, you're under opposition, and you know the enemy's after you. The enemy, it's a good sign. It means that God's getting ready to bring you to a new level. Don't look at it as, oh, God, take it away. Because sometimes God says, no, I'm not going to take it away. I want you to grow. I want you to learn how to use the weapons of your warfare here. There's also other times where you just have to ride something out. You have to go through a period of time. Because any time you go through a trial or you go through a test, it means that you're given an opportunity to be promoted. Amen? It's no different than going through school. You got to take those tests. We don't like those tests, but the tests are necessary for promotion. Amen? To go forward. And if we prove ourselves in the test, then we can be trusted, amen, to go to the next level. You see, this life is all about preparation for eternal life. We're in boot camp of eternity right now. God is preparing us for eternity. And that's why we must count it all joy, brethren, like James said, when you fall under various trials, amen? Come under these tests. Knowing that the proving of your faith, you know, the trying of your faith produces perseverance. The good fruit, amen? How many know that fruit of the Spirit is patience? Amen? We want patience. There's only way to get patience. Pressure. Amen? To where you're squeezed, but you're still under control. Now, if we blow our top and we lose it, then we have to go through that again. And I don't like taking retests. I like to be able to, you know, get on with the process here and go forward. Amen? But sometimes it's necessary. But aren't you glad that God allows us to go through the retest too? Yeah. All right. How many want to... let me give you an example. In our military, you know, how many want a general in the military who has been proven on the battlefield, who has been through many battles, who has won battles? And you want somebody that has a proven track record to be in a high position of authority, amen, who rules many, many men, right, or people. So, yes, likewise, God wants us to be qualified for what He has. And so He allows us to go through things to prepare us for what is coming. Do you understand that the Bible says that we will judge angels someday? That we're actually going to rule and reign with Christ someday. If we suffer with Him now, we shall also what? Reign with Him then. How many know that trials and temptations are a form of suffering? Are they not? There's also this thing called persecution. But you see, people who have been tested and tried and have come through the trial are the ones who can be trusted to go on to the next level. So it is. Understand that all these things are working together for the good. When you find yourself in the test, What's the best thing to do? Give thanks to God. Faith means that I know that God's going to turn this around for good. So even though I can't see it right now, it's painful right now, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go through this because I know you have something better for me on the other side of this. Amen. Give thanks in all things. Because thanksgiving in advance is me saying that I believe that God's going to answer my prayer. When you pray, you're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. Why? Because thanksgiving is me saying, God, I'm thanking you now for the answer later. And I will continue to thank God until the answer comes. Amen. If we grumble, what we're saying is, I don't believe God's going to come through then. I have to take on the responsibility myself. I have to carry it myself. Isn't that right? God's not big enough, so I have to grumble. I have to complain about it. And so God says trust. And trust will produce thanksgiving. Faith produces thanksgiving. I don't see it with my eyes, but I believe it. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. How do we get faith? Again, by that Word of God. These words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. So when Jesus is speaking the Word, amen, it's life to our spirit. The Word of God produces hope. The Word of God produces faith. Amen? The Word of God produces love. Amen? Because it is love. It is hope. It is faith. It is the actual Word itself that is living. It's the Word of God that is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when we hear a word that is spoken by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven, it imparts life. It quickens you inside. Hope arises. Faith arises. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. When you're hearing and you know God has spoken to you, it produces hope. And a faith to believe, God spoke to me. Amen? And because you trust God's nature and His character, if it's a true word from God, you know that God's going to perform it. So Abraham received a word from God. Amen? And he didn't waver through unbelief. But he was strengthened in his faith. He held on to the promise of God. Amen. That he was going to be the father of many nations. Remember Moses. Amen. He had it this morning. We talked about Moses having to be brought down before he could be brought up. He had to step down from his trust and his faith in Egypt. Amen. A type of the world. And God said, Moses, I'm calling you to be the deliverer of my people. But Moses had to choose to associate himself with the people of God who were in at that time in bondage. And so Moses was humbled by God. Moses was taken to the back 40. Amen. And spent 40 years in the wilderness. God was preparing and humbling Moses and teaching Moses how to hear his voice and how to trust him. So when the time came, Moses would be out of the way and he'd be a yielded, humbled vessel, willing to allow God to lead him. And God brought him to the place where he became the deliverer of Egypt. But it was not going to happen as long as Moses was sitting, amen, in king's palaces in Egypt. He had to be brought down, amen, he had to be humbled so that he could be trusted with this responsibility. You see, if we're full of ourselves, God can't trust us. If we are leaning on him, if we're trusting in him, we can be trusted. Why? Because God knows that we get in the way and we can make a mess of things. So to the level that we are humbled by God and brought into submission to God will be the level that God can entrust to us the greater riches. So it's a good thing when you go through these trials and these problems and these tribulations. Why? Because it's bringing us to a place where we're dying to ourselves. Isn't it hard to die to yourself? We struggle, we fight, we want to rule, we want to be in charge, we want to have the reins of our own life. We fight against God. So God has to allow things in our lives to bring us to the place. Are there any broken people here tonight? I mean, you've just been some You know, some brokenness in your life? Or how many are not as confident in yourself as you used to be? How many know that God never told us to be confident in ourselves? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. See, the world has taught us, and even the church we've adopted, is self-confidence. No, the Bible says to deny yourself. How about self-esteem? No, the Bible doesn't tell you to esteem yourself. The Bible says to disown yourself. And God will esteem you. And when God esteems you, you'll have a sense of self-value. Why? Because your value will be placed on your identity in Christ and not in yourself. My value will be in my new creation and not in my old self. Because, you know, often we're just trying to patch ourselves up. You know, God doesn't add to the old, the new. He says, you got to get rid of the old. I'm going to make everything new. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. That means a whole brand new thing. Amen? Being in Christ means I'm done with me. I'm done with my way. And when I'm done with my way, I'm ready for His way. When I'm done with sin, I'm ready for Jesus. But if I'm not done with sin, if I'm not really willing to repent and give my life away to God, then I'm still holding on. And Jesus says, if you try to hold on, you'll lose it. You'll lose your soul. You have to completely trust me with your life now. Give your life to me. Give your life to me. Because whatever Jesus has, He can bless. But if He doesn't have all of you, He can only bless what He does have. And if He's only got half of you, He's only got half of you. Amen? That means you're double-minded. World, Jesus. World, Jesus. You know? Me, Jesus. Me, Jesus. I'm just getting started. Are we okay so far? Thank you, Lord, for this tonight. Now listen. There's no limit to what can be accomplished by faith in God. No limit. We're the ones that limit God. I limit God. I don't want to. But there's still that part that wants to hold on. Amen? That has to have it all figured out. It has to have it tested in the tube, you know. That's the part of me that has to die. I have to be willing to fully surrender to God. In the place of full surrender is a place of full bliss or blessing. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Is it not true? When we start taking back ownership, we start getting back into fear, stress, anxiety, depression. We start taking ownership back, we get into condemnation. Am I saved? Hello? But when we're fully submitted and fully surrendered, there's life and peace in the Spirit. There's not the wonder of, what if Jesus were to come? Would I be ready? See, a lot of people will come and they'll come down to an altar. And I remember years ago, I used to have altar calls all the time for salvation. People come down, say the sinner's prayer. The next week, they'd be coming down, saying the sinner's prayer again, coming down, saying the sinner's prayer. Every week, they're saying the sinner's prayer. Well, did it work the first time? If you don't believe that, then the answer is no. It's according to your faith. According to your faith, let it be unto you. Do you understand? Salvation is a result of God's work, but it's received by faith. It is by grace, but it's by faith. Faith means that I am trusting God fully for my salvation. I'm not trusting God a little bit and then the rest is up to me. I'm trusting God fully to the measure that I just fully give up and abandon myself and lay myself at His feet in a full surrender and say, God, I can't save me. And I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired and trying and failing and trying and failing. You got to die to yourself. You got to give up your life. Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake in the gospel, you'll gain it. You'll find it. And that goes contrary to human reasoning, to the natural understanding of man. They say, no, save yourself. Jesus, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. Save yourself. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't listen to man? He only did what the Father told him to do. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father. Amen? You can't save your life, so don't try. To the degree that we're trying to save ourselves will be the degree of our bondage to ourselves. Jesus came to set us free from ourselves. We are our own worst enemy, naturally speaking, because we're born with a fallen nature. So God wants to give us a brand new nature, a brand new beginning. And we have to starve out the old and feed the new. Amen? We have to be done with us and willing to listen and obey Him and follow Him. Faith has action. Faith produces an obedient heart. If I say I believe God and I don't obey Him, I'm lying. Yeah. And I say this so often, but I want to say it again tonight, that if we pretend to be what we're not, we will not become what we're supposed to. Right? So we've got to come clean. We've got to be honest. We've got to say, no, I'm not all that, Lord. But I want you to do the work. I'm willing to lay it all down. Because I want you to change me. I want to be like you. And I want to say one more thing tonight. Well, maybe not one more thing. Our experience alone cannot be the standard for our faith. Our experience alone cannot be the standard for our faith. Because I was thinking about this in my own life, that I've had experiences where I've seen God do things and God move, you know, in my life, and I've seen miracles and things happen. But that cannot be the standard for my faith. The Word of God has to be my standard. And often, my standard and His standard are like this. Amen? God says, come up higher. I want you to grow in your trust, in your faith in Me. And we do so by daily application, daily practice, daily stepping out of our comfort zone, out of the place of predictability where I can control things and start to listen to God and do what I can't do. Because God will meet you in the place where you finish. Where you're done, God will meet you in that place. But not until you're done. If you're just out there, and if we're out there projecting ourselves on people, they're going to get us, but they're not going to get Jesus. Amen? So it's got to be selfless. It's not about me. I want to present Christ to you. I want Christ to move through me and touch through me and heal through me. Amen? And speak through me. So I've got to be done with me. I've got to be done with ego. I've got to be done with self-importance. I've got to be done with self-esteem. And ministry is not a means to feel good about me. No. How many know that people do that? They get involved in ministry because they feel good about doing something for Jesus. That should never be the motivation for it. It should always be the love of God. It should always be because I love, therefore I do or I give. Amen? It's not because I'm doing it with an agenda. Well, I'm going to bless you because I want to be blessed. Now, we do that. And we know, and it's okay. When we go to the nursing home, for example, right? We go over there to bless those people. We're not going over there just, well, I'm going here so I can get blessed. No, I'm going over there to bless those people. They're not going to be able to give me anything in return, you know? But what a joy it is to know that God has used you in that place. And when you walk through that door, Jesus says, I've been waiting for you. Amen? He's there. And you go and you love on the people. And you get blessed, probably more than they do. But our motivation, again, is not about us. It's not for what I can get out of it. But our motivation is the love of God. And the love of God says that even if you hate me, I will love you. Even if you don't love me, I am going to love you anyways. Even when we were yet in sin, when we were rebels, when we were enemies of God in our minds, amen, Christ died. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You see, Jesus laid down His life because He loved, not because He had an agenda. The agenda that He did have was you and I. He did it for you and I. Because He wanted to have sons and daughters. Amen. He wanted to have a family, a big family, to share His glory with, to share His kingdom with. So He went all the way to the cross out of love for you and for me. And that's why we need to say, Jesus, based upon all You did for me, Romans 12, it's my reasonable service to offer my body back to You now for Your service. What can I do for You, Lord? How can I love You back? I want to love You back. I want to say thank You. So our experience alone cannot be the standard for our faith, because sometimes our experience is only at a certain level. Amen? But God's Word must be the standard. And our experience often falls short of what God wants us to receive and experience. Isn't that true? Our experience often falls short of God's standard, of what He wants us to experience, of what He wants us to receive. Now, I want to take a look. Are you okay with this? Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Yeah, believe it or not, we're going to crack the Bible tonight. Yeah. How many of you know that what I'm saying tonight is the Bible? Amen. It is the Word. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought You my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to Your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. Now listen to Jesus' response in verse 19. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Him, and when He saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him into the fire, both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if You can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. Now, what's going on here? Why was Jesus upset? This man brings his mute son to the disciples. They could not cast the demon out of him. Jesus actually got upset. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus had given them exousia and dunamis. He had given them authority and power. They had it. Do you understand? You and I can soak till the cows come home. Amen. We can be filled up. We can be overflowing. But if we don't have faith, if faith is not active, if we're not doing something in faith, then there aren't going to be any results. There's people who get filled with the Holy Spirit and God wants to give them a prayer language, but they don't take any action. They just sit there and hope something's going to happen. It requires an action. They have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you have to begin to articulate. You take the action and then the Holy Spirit meets you in that place of active faith. So it was that these disciples, they possessed authority and power, but they didn't believe. in what Jesus had told them. They didn't believe the Word of God. They didn't believe that they could do it. You see, how many know that sometimes spirits will mess with your mind and they will say stuff, you better not mess with me or I'll kill you, I'll rip your head off. And you know, sometimes they'll cry out and they'll say some pretty ugly things and make some pretty ugly faces. And why do they do that? Because they're trying to get you to doubt. They're trying to mess with your faith. That's when you dig in your heels and you say, nuh-uh, we're not going there. Not going to... Amen? I know what my God has told me to do, and I'm putting you on notice. In the name of Jesus, you are... It's not an option. You are going to come out. You understand? We have to take faith, and we have to take action. Amen? And when we take that action and we begin to speak the Word of God, there's creative power and there's power, amen, to rebuke those things and drive them out. But the enemy wants to mess with your faith. He wants to steal your faith. He wants to try to get you to doubt in your authority. You understand? What's happening right now with our police? Amen? They're so scared now that they're going to do something wrong. That, yeah, there's some bad cops, but the majority of them aren't bad, amen? They just singled out a few. And there's an agenda there, amen, to stir up stuff on the street. All right? Get people upset. And label them all, broad brush all the police that they're all bad, they're all the enemy. It's satanic. Amen? And so now their hands are being tied. They're having to have, you know, these cameras on themselves, and they're walking around on eggshells. So now they're having a very difficult time even doing their job anymore because they're so afraid that somebody's going to get offended or they're going to break a nail in the process of this thing. Amen. And they're going to take them to court and sue them or whatever else. And so you understand that's just how the enemy works in the spirit. He uses intimidation. If you do this, we're going to do that. These police officers, amen, thank God for the cops. I didn't always believe that way, but I do now. I was like looking into my mirror and seeing a police car, you know. But now I thank God for them, amen. Because they're there here to do a service, and many of them do have, you know, they're good people. And they do want to serve the public, amen? And do a good job to protect us. Yeah, there's always going to be some bad cops. But the enemy is a liar, and he tries to get people, amen, on the defensive. The church was never given defensive armor in the sense that there was never any armor in the back, right? The Roman soldier never had armor in the back. You all know this. Why? Because if you turn around and run, you're going to get speared or arrowed or sliced or something. We're to go forward. We're going to forward and conquer in Jesus' name. Amen? Because we believe in our God. If I believe that I have been given the authority by God, then it will be proven or demonstrated in the way that I conduct my life, the way I live my life. Amen? If you're going to have the light on at night because you're afraid of the dark, you don't know your authority in Christ. If you're afraid of the dark or fear of the devil or whatever, you don't know your authority in Christ. And the devil knows that. And that's why he will continue to torment you. They don't even know what they have. They've got the armor of God. They've got the sword of the Spirit. They've been deputized, they've been called, they've been commissioned by God, they've been given authority, they've been given power, amen, and they don't even realize what they've got. How many know the churches are full of Christians like that? That they don't even know what they've got. They're sitting on all this. And instead of being on the offensive, they're constantly in hold the fort mode. Survival mode. No, that's not what we're called to. Faith has evidence. Amen? Okay. I better hold it up right there. Faith has substance. Faith is believing God. Faith is believing God's Word. And if my mind Can't wrap around it? Don't worry about it. Amen? Believe God, despite what your understanding tells you. Your understanding tells you you can't, but the Spirit of God says you can. Amen? So we have to obey the Word, because God would never tell us to do something that He would not be willing to back up. He said, go. I've freely you have received, now you freely give. I've given you this assignment to do the things that I did, Jesus said. Amen? To preach the gospel of the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, right? To raise the dead, to drive out demons in my name. He said, I've given you this assignment. Amen? So that you will demonstrate the fact that I am risen from the dead. When he went away, he says, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Amen? Go therefore and preach this gospel. And Mark 16 tells us these accompanying signs will follow them that believe. Amen? In my name. They will cast out demons right off the top of the list. Amen? So we need to understand who we are. We need to exercise this daily. Don't put up, amen, with that lying voice that's speaking to you to try to rob you of your faith, your confidence in God. And anything that's telling you that God can't or God won't or God's not for you or God's against you is a lie. Amen? If you're hearing that voice, you deal with it. You say, wait a minute, why am I listening to this? Amen? That's just like some punk kid that comes up to a cop. He's got the badge. He's got the authority. He can arrest. Amen? And he walks up and he's just starting to mouth off to the cop. Well, if the cop doesn't know who he is, then he'll just tolerate that. But if he knows who he is, amen? And I'm going to finish with this. You and I, likewise, are called to enforce what Jesus already, what? Accomplished. He's already done it. He's gone before us. He's overcome the world. He says the land is yours, but you've got to believe and go in and possess it. Take territory back. Amen? In your own life, in your own family, in your own community, take that territory back. I've given you the authority to enforce what I've already accomplished. You don't have to do it. He's done it. You just enforce it. We're stepping out for Jesus. Amen? We've got the badge. No longer am I a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I love that. No longer am I a slave to sin. I am a child of God.